Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. This morning, our agenda is... well, I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go along. Stay tuned. Once again, good morning. So, I'm actually not sure why they put me in the schedule. When you take a look at the grid, at the schedule that was sent out to everybody, it would seem that I'm the, by the schedule, I'm the only live show. Everything else is pre-recorded, and they have this software, this station playlist studio software that the ops department sets up that automates all the programming. And in this case, of course, it's pitching programming. So so it's a thing. But I'm live. I am here. Okay, so let's see. I am not only here. I am not only here, but I am also on Facebook Live. So if you happen to be on Facebook or have a browser handy or a mobile phone or however it is that one accesses Facebook, then you can actually watch me do the show. And I will talk at you. We will talk at each other while the show is going on. So... next week, don't know if I'll be here or not. As I say, I'm not always certain whether or not during fundraising drives I'm on the air. Since I was put in the 1 to 3 time slot, or it used to be the 1:30 to 3, but then I got 1 to 3, I don't raise money like I used to do when the show was on during the Hour of the Wolf, which is, for those who don't know, it's the morning twilight. And in fact, I may play a little... audio about that for you shortly, if I can find it. Ah, there it is. Yes, the trailer for Hour of the Wolf. So, I'm not going to play that now. I'm going to play that on Monday. What am I doing on the air on Monday? Well, there's a promo for it. And believe it or not, I'm visible and clear. Oh, yeah. But let me tell you, person typing to me over the face, I'm not going to use people's names, really. I shouldn't use names unless I have permission. So if you type me, just say something like, okay, meaning that I can give your name or something like that. Otherwise, I will just use first names. I may be clear and visible, despite it being radio, I am visible, but this is merely the front of my camera, the front of my phone. This is a 6K, no, what am I talking about? This is like a 5, point something megapixel on the front. And I've got it on the front camera so that I can see. But the front camera, very bizarrely, turns... Ah, thank you, Brian. You said I name okay. The front camera reverses all the lettering, which is very weird. If I was to use the rear camera, let me go like that. You can see there now. Now, that's only pointing at the ground, but that is an 18-megapixel image with something called HDR+, which makes the camera, until last Tuesday, the best camera phone in the world. This is a Pixel, and the Pixel 2 was announced October 4th, so I've only had this phone about 6 weeks, and already it's outmoded, so it's second best. I think I can live with that. At any rate, so you're seeing from the front camera, and everything is reversed. See all the reversal? It's so weird. I tried to do it the other way, but there you have it. Okay, so I was going to play a promo. And I, as mentioned, I will be hearing this for the very first time. I think James Irsay put this together, and I know what it's about. Lord knows I know what it's about, but I haven't heard the promo. Let's listen together.
...1967. Gentle Ben was waving his paw from our TV sets. The Electric Prunes was in the bins at Sam Goody. Miniskirts and boots made for walking were seen on every street. And at the WBAI studios on East 39th Street, Little Jim Freund rang the bell. And the rest is science fiction. Join Jim, Janet Coleman, David Dozer, Max Schmid, and myself, James Irsay, as we honor Jim's 50 years in show business. Monday, October 16th from 3 to 5 p.m., right here on WBAI 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. See you there.
Okay, can we get skiffier than that? I don't think so. Thank you, James. So, yeah, I started working at WBAI, answering phones, on May 1st, 1967. And I'm going to ask one of the people who is on Facebook who would know, if he cares to type in, was that the first fun drive ever? I was 13 years old, and my uncle told me to listen to this radio station, and I did. I listened faithfully to the overnight programming and to programs for young people and things like that. And so when they asked for people to come down and answer phones, well, why not? And I guess they didn't think much of it, even though I was 13, because I could fill out a pledge blank. Who can't? But I stayed. I don't think there were any number of people, I think, that weren't too happy about that. And, well, as a result, the what's the Sondheim song? Maybe I should play that. I'm Still Here. Okay? So there you have it. Monday, although it is 6 months after my 50th anniversary of working here, and I think it was from the very first thon ever, Monday will be my celebrating or crying over my 50th year of working here at WBAI. As Simon Lokely used to say, at least he said it when I turned 50 years old, he said, "Welcome to L." That would be the Roman numeral 50. Welcome to L. And he also said that, you know, doing something for over 50 years gives you the right to start conversations by saying, you know, for the better part of a century, I've always believed, and then you can say anything that you want after that. So, as I was saying earlier, I was very, very surprised to find that I was scheduled to be on this morning, but indeed I was, and I was thinking about it. Now, first thing I wanted to do, obviously, what would be the big science fiction-related thing to do would be to do a show about Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner, and maybe express my opinions, which I have certainly done before, but this would seem like an appropriate time, about the original Blade Runner. And there's just about three little hitches. I haven't seen the new Blade Runner. Had things worked out, I invited a guest, whose name I won't mention, but I trust I will be able to get him here in time, and possibly another one who hopefully I can get her here at the same time. One person thinks that Blade Runner, the original, is one of the best films ever made. I don't. If I was, you know, told to do a star rating system, like, you know, how many stars out of 4 stars, I would give it 3 stars. And certainly not for plot. For vision, for set pieces, for acting, and for setting things up, yes. As a movie with a through line, no. No, not at all. And so much that people talk about it is retro. It's after the fact. A lot of the stuff that was put in the movie was after the fact, when Alan Ladd Jr. started putting stuff in. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't dislike the film. I just think that it's highly and totally overrated. But now comes the inevitable sequel. And mind you, this one, Blade Runner 2049, I think it is, because I think the original movie was set in 2019. That would be 2 years from now, let's note. And that's when we would have all those copters and everything and replicants all over the place doing bizarre stuff. K.W. Jeter wrote at least, I think, 3 Blade Runner novels. And they're very good. And there have been different sequels, different versions. In the Jeter books, no, Rick Deckard is not a replicant. And by the way, that is a question that is left open at the end of the new movie. But I am really anxious to see the new movie. And let me finish saying why. Also, our movie critic, Dan Persons, did not have an opportunity. He could have gone last night and, you know, really forcing his way. And what I would have done is, about 5 blocks from here is what has become my absolute favorite movie theater in New York City. Remember the Alamo, folks. I just really like that joint. And that's right near here. It's about a 5-minute walk. So I thought maybe I'd go see, like, you know, there was, I think, a 9:15 show tonight in 2D. They don't have it in 3D, but that's fine by me. And I would go see that and then come here and do the show, and Dan could have forced in a review. But then the two guests that I hope to have here and have a panel discussion about the old and new Blade Runner, and the same way that we did about the new Star Trek TV series a couple of weeks ago, and when the play Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Oh, there's a title. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, but that's the novel on which Blade Runner is allegedly based. There is very, very, very little of that novel in the movie, and so much of the movie totally contradicts the novel. Start with the idea of Earth is supposed to be an empty, barren place, almost without cities. And here we see in L.A., that is overcrowded with people. Replicants were made for them, you know, aside from the various animals, which the wealthy people treasure and keep as status symbols. They were made to go off to colonies on Mars. No, they did not see the galaxies, as Rutger Hauer says. Now, one thing that is very true is that a primary theme of Philip K. Dick's and a primary theme of the movie Blade Runner is about what is the authentic human being. That they got right. But the other main theme of the novel is about religion, where everybody goes and they put their hands into this box, an empathy box, and they can commune with their martyred figure who keeps, like Sisyphus, rolling a stone up a hill and can never get down. They can talk to him. They can feel his pain and all that. His name Mercer, something like that in the religion. Mercerism, eh? Time to reread the book. But I don't want to reread the book until I see the new movie. So why I am thrilled about one thing about the new movie. The director's last film was Arrival, which came out last fall. And I think Arrival is one of the top 10, maybe top 5, science fiction films of this millennium. So far, we're only 17 years into this millennium. Do me a favor, somebody, anybody, type into Facebook. For some reason, all of a sudden, I'm not getting updates, and I want to know that you're actually out there. Otherwise, I won't be paying as much attention. But somebody, anybody, just type in a message and let me see if I can actually see you. So anyway, also the cinematographer of this film, I mean, one of the things about the original film, you know, every week at this time, that darn copying machine goes on. You can hear it in the background, right? Yeah, I don't know if I'm connected with people, because I asked you all to write and disappeared. Now I see that we have a whole bunch of viewers. I can see who they are and all that, and normally I can see them type in. But either we lost a whole bunch, and when I asked people to type in something, there's nothing there. So, because I'm trying to play this to two audiences at once, more or less. At any rate, let me just see. There's a logo, a Facebook logo on my screen, and maybe that's got information for me. Well, that's just a comment from 11 minutes ago. But at any rate, Roger Deakins did the cinematography for this film. He's done most of the Coen Brothers movies, and it was so important. The visual aspect is much of what made the first Blade Runner so important. I won't say stole. It paid homage to... Somebody typed, something is wrong. Can you tell me what is wrong? That was actually a send, you know, somebody. That's why you heard that little ding there. Tell me, can you see me? Tommy, can you hear me? What I could do is I could restart the live stream. My live feed is missing. Okay, so I guess what I should do is probably finish it, stop it, ending live video. Ooh, look at all those spiffy sounds. Oh, now I hear me. Let me post that. I don't want to do that. And let's just start it again. Go live. Da-da-da. and hit that again. And now, once again, let me start it. Okay, starting live video. And I guess people have to log out of the stream that was there and log in again onto Facebook. And, okay, I see Fitzcarl. Okay, hi. Hi back at you. Okay, very good. And okay, you're all coming back in. That's good. Ooh, Don DeBar? Oh, I said I shouldn't say names. But when the person is a staff member of WBAI, such as Don, then I'll say hi. Ooh, ooh. Some very, very cool people watching. I'm so thrilled by that. Well, okay, that worked. I guess we have it's mirror image. I'm being asked again why it's mirror image. It's mirror image because I am using the hi Keith. I'm using the front facing camera on my phone, right? Okay, yes, Jim, not James. People can call me James, by the way. I don't mind that. But when I'll be on the air on Monday with Ursay, one of us is going to have to be James and the other one Jim. Just nobody should be Jimmy. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Don, if you got it, if you understood why, explain it to me. Why should the front-facing phone, the side of the phone, hi, Connie, why should it be in reverse? There's, you know, if I did it the other way. Yes, I recommend it, Don. I can help you with this, if you like. Yes, I know that's how they work. It makes no sense, and I'm a tech critic, so I get to say it makes no sense. Now, it's not that it's cheaper. It's got nothing to do with it. They could do a mirror image. They could flip it around with, or even give me the option to flip it around with just a tiny piece of code. It's just, I guess, if they, you know, wanted me on using the good camera, which is the other side. This is the 5-megapixel side. The other side is the good side, is the 18-megapixel side. If you take a look at my show from 2 weeks ago, when somebody else was engineering me, then you will see how it works. Oh, Connie, I don't agree. We could get into a Babylon 5 argument on the air as well. In fact, I'm willing to take phone calls on the air with you people, instead of just looking at Facebook. It is. There is a reason for that, why it is backwards. And I think it has to do with, if the main screen were something that I were filming, then I could insert myself in, and people could tell the difference on the inset shot. I could actually add you folk. No, Paula, you're simply wrong. This is the way all phones work. Somebody saying it's because they're stupid. No, these people ain't stupid. Yeah, the hardware can easily flip it in the firmware, or, for that matter, it can be flipped in the software, except they have disabled that option. This is how they want it to be. I don't know why. So I'm willing to take phone calls on Blade Runner, on Star Trek, on B5, whatever. Oh, maybe we should be discussing books. And I tease it as a flip shot. Yeah, I guess so. That makes sense, Don. Thank you. But it doesn't make sense why that should be. I should have the choice of this being the main. See, I could turn it around, get a better image, have everything right, but then I wouldn't be able to frame it properly and see you at the same time. I don't watch Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash, or Green Arrow. They bore me. Thank you, Don. I agree. It's very interesting and very weird to watch all these little icons rolling by. If you folks are on Facebook, look me up, Jim Freund. You will see the live stream going on, and you can join it and talk to me that way. If you are listening, you can call the station, and we will take your calls. Ah! But first... Yeah, you knew there was a catch, right? I want one pledge. I only want one pledge. I don't need a lot of people calling the way I usually ask to become a BAI buddy, which is something that people should definitely do, is you pay a certain amount a month, and it's really easy, and it gives us more money over the long run, sort of like taking a loan out. I don't need people to donate $50, or $50 would be good, because that's a dollar for every year that I've worked at WBAI. That would be all right. Nah. One call. One pledge. I want $1.8 million. Don DeBar knows exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, good morning, Don. Beg pardon. Yeah, you got to sleep, but you know what? You can watch this tomorrow. That's one of the interesting things about this, is you can watch it at any time. So good night, Don, and perhaps you'll watch the rest of the show tomorrow. But he knows why. You know why, Don. I'm asking for $1.8 million. That's what we were assessed for our back rent, not to mention our future rent, that we are locked into currently, unless somebody intercedes, at the Empire State Building. So, it's a long story. It is filled with politics. I probably don't agree about them, as many people do. The person I'm talking to, Don, and I are probably on... Well, on the one hand, within the politics of WBAI, we don't necessarily see everything in the same way. On the other hand, we both see the necessity of this radio station. And so we are on the same side, is what it comes down to. And, yeah, we need a lot of money and real soon. And this is not just a problem for WBAI. This is a problem for the Pacifica Network. We have been around since 1946. WBAI joined the Pacifica Network in 1960. And we have faced many, many, many a financial crisis before. I came in, as I said, during what I believe to be the very first thon ever. In those days, we just took May. It was the 1st of May to the end of May. And that was it, once a year. Now, May is probably the one month that we take off from begging for money. So, what we often say on the air when we ask you to pledge, we say, now more than ever. Guess what? Now more than ever. We are not folding the tent. We are going to continue. I heard a ding. We are going to continue broadcasting, going to continue doing our job for you listeners, but we are going to need listener support. That's what we are. We are listener-sponsored, listener-supported radio. It was Pacifica Radio. Then tell me. Okay, so this person who's writing me, I would have to absolutely defer to him, because unless I'm mistaken, he says I was not present for the first thon. Well, I believe this person would have been, well, let's say very involved with WBAI for the first thon. Can you tell me what year? I volunteered in 1967. What year was the first thon? 1964! Wow! So I'm a newbie. I've just been demoted. Okay. I'll accept that. I thought maybe I was off by a year. I was here for an early fund drive in that case. Third fund drive, 64, 65, 66, 67, the fourth fund drive. I will accept this person's word as being the final word. I consider myself a bit of a historian about the station, having worked here for so many years, but this person absolutely supersedes me. No question about it. Anyhow, let's get to the point. If we want to talk about my being here for 55 years, even 52 years, in a couple of years from now, we're going to need money. We're going to need to be funded. And in order for that to happen, we're going to need you to make a pledge. There are a few ways you can do that. Number one, you can go to WBAI.org. Let me see what happens. I know there's give to WBAI. That's one way. Type in give to WBAI and your search engine will take you to the correct place. But if you go to WBAI.org, and those people who are watching me online, oh, hi, Robert. It's a neighbor in Brooklyn. Then, yes, you will see the upper right-hand page, and somewhere on here, it will say, pledge. Okay, yes, there is the, okay, near the upper right, it says, listen live on air now, Hour of the Wolf. To the right of that, and says it in nice commie red, it says online donations site. And you can click on that, and that will bring you to give numeral 2 WBAI. But I don't care to say that all the time, numeral 2 WBAI. If you go to WBAI.org, that will bring you to give to WBAI.org. And it will tell you that is the WBAI donation site. There is also another thing that you can click and above it that says ways to donate. And that will tell you about the, you know, making a donation via PayPal. You can give a recurring monthly donation. This is the one that I really, really promote, is becoming a BAI buddy, and you commit yourself to a recurring monthly fee that can be, you know, $10 a month, $25 a month, whatever. You can make a one-time cash donation with a thank you gift. Visit our online WBAI store to select the thank you gift as our way of showing you our appreciation for your generous contribution to WBAI. Gifts include WBAI logoware and merchandise, DVDs, CDs, books, healthcare and organic nutritional products, plus seminars and other services, all tied to your level of giving. You will often hear these products mentioned on the air and are going to give to WBAI.org and going to give to WBAI.org lets you browse through our robust assortment of gifts for donors. I don't have a specific one for now, but I will have one later in the month. I will have two, actually, later in the month. One will involve the Star Pit. Oh, thank you. Somebody just donated $5. The Star Pit, which is also celebrating its 50th anniversary. This is not a coincidence. When the Star Pit was being made, I volunteered to help make that possible. How did I make it possible? Very simple. I fetched water. I went out for coffee. I helped, well, do various things that made the May the workers, well, whatever. So let me just see here. So, yeah, you can go and make that pledge a couple of ways. Number one, this one I like. You can text a donation. Send it to number 41444, and you text the letters WBAI. That's it. Thinking of Margot, I never met her. Well, you know what I mean, but so sweet, Jim. Thank you, Tom. Margot Adler is a topic that I will be discussing at length next week, or possibly even later this morning, if people call up and ask for it. And I'll also be playing some clips, a lot of clips, on Monday, 3 to 5 p.m. with James Irsay, Janet Coleman, and I believe Max Schmid. That means among the four of us, that's over 200 years of BAI. Janet predates me here by about 5 years. But she took 10 years off at some point, but nevertheless, so call that 45 years. Irsay, I think, has been here for about 40, that's 95 years. I'm here for 50 years, that's 145 years. Ooh, and Max only for about a mere 40, he's another newbie. So I think we don't quite, oh, darn. I'm going to have to pitch for somebody who's been here for 10 years. Then we'll have 200 years of WBAI. So we will see how that can be done. So you can text a donation to the number 41444, and the message that you will send is WBAI. Or you can phone. Area code 347-335-0818. Again, 347-335-0818. I find that one of the least memorable numbers we've ever had. I remember the number when we had the church on 62nd Street. I certainly remember the various phone numbers, including the barter department and the main pledge number when we were at 30 East 39th Street, both of which began with Oxford 7. I won't give the whole number because the last time I did that, people actually started calling those numbers and finding out who's there now. I should do that and record, ask the people to record, you know, the history of how they got that number. It's like visiting an old home, maybe even visit 30 East 39th Street and see what's going on there now. So, oops. Okay, that's not what I intended to do. There, that's what I intended to do. Very good. Okay, so I'm doing the Facebook Live thing at the same time. So please, let's get some pledges. Go to give to WBAI, go to WBAI.org, phone 516-620-3602, or text WBAI to the number 41444. That's basically how it works. And I think what that does basically is it opens a web page that is just like, coincidentally, the Give to WBAI page. So, what a coincidence. Okay. Please make that call. Please make that pledge. Now, this is interesting. I'm taking a look at the various promos that people have, because I just went to give2wbai.org, and I'm seeing some of the premiums we have. And somebody has a new book by Cory Doctorow, who's been a regular, not a regular, he's been on the show three times. That counts as regular, I suppose. But, gee, that's one worth having. And even though it's not my, you know, promo item, it is well worth it. Thank you, Connie. I appreciate it. Yeah, you're broke. I'm broke. I know people are broke, but please give if you can. It's very important. But I see a number of things that I should mention are available on the WBAI Give to W. Paula, if it isn't relevant to the show, I don't want to know. You can get, and this is something that I originally helped create, a wormhole certificate. Yes, you can get a certificate entitling you to a wormhole. All you have to do is go there and get it. And I designed these. Janet Coleman and David Dozer enabled them. I think I printed the original batches, but I believe they do now also. They assure that you're getting a unique wormhole by giving each one a separate number. And then to make sure it's a real bona fide wormhole, it's signed by Dr. Michio Kaku. What more can you ask for? And that's for a $35 donation. For another $35 donation, there is the Golden Age and Ecologic Ecology old-time radio shows. A lot of good science fiction in there, and it also includes bird watching, which is one of my favorite hobbies, and that's good for a $35 donation. And there, for $75, there is a book by Cory Doctorow. But what I would really appreciate is when you go to the site and donate, you can donate in the name of a show. You can click on where it says favorite show e-donation. E-donation. Yeah, yeah, you really love that the numbers are backwards. It's, okay, Keith. The reason the front camera has a reverse image is so the user will, whoops, okay, I just missed it, has a reverse image so the user will see his face or her face in it the same as he and she would in a mirror. Otherwise, it would seem a bit off. Well, don't you think that seeing, yo, I see, right. It's like trying to comb your hair when it's a mirror image. He's absolutely right. That does make perfect sense because I can point exactly like, you know, even if I'm not there, I'm not pointing at the mic. See, my finger's away from the mic, but I can point to it. I can point to the letters up there and be accurate. If I didn't see it in reverse image, I wouldn't be able to do that. So that makes perfect sense. Thank you so much, Keith. Now, another staff member of WBAI, and being a staff member, I will use the name Brian C. Saunders of the Brian C. Saunders Experience. He says, support WBAI, we're listener-sponsored, and your support helps to keep us alive. Show us your love so that we can contribute to show you our love. I'm Mike Sargent's co-host of Night Shift and see more. Okay, I'm going to click see more. And we support Jim Frank. Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. Somebody say it is neat to see. Oh, I see. Oh, Connie. Connie, you're a New Yorker. We go to the same conventions, don't we? Oh, good God. Hello, Linda. One of my favorite staffers here at WBAI and her husband, Linda and Richard. I won't use your name unless you tell me it's okay to use your name. But hi there. I'm so glad that you're doing this. This is a really interesting platform, as another WBAI person mentioned, so that it's something that I think we should do more of. I've been experimenting with Facebook Live in a number of ways, including readings at science fiction conventions and things like that. But using it on the air, while you're on the air, that brings a whole new dimension to it. Anyhow, pledge, call, give your support. Area code 516-620-3602 is the number to call and pledge. You can text WBAI to the number 41444. I like that one a lot. Or you can just go on the web and type in WBAI.org and follow the prompts, or else you can type in give numeral 2 WBAI.org. okay? Please, let's do those things so that I can feel like this is useful. Like I have justified being on the air in the middle of a fun drive, and they often don't put me on because there's a catch-22. They say, well, you don't raise a lot of money. And I say, well, it's very difficult in a 1-to-3 slot to raise money. And so perhaps we should do some more programming in that slot and give the listeners some of what they are paying for. But we've got to make sure that you are paying for it. So make that pledge, 516-620-3602. I am not going to do this pitching all morning. I am doing it now. But I am also willing at this point to open up the telephone lines for people to call and chat. And the telephone number for that is area code 347-335-0818. I hope that you're getting all of these numbers that I am throwing at you. Oh, my God. No, I do not live in Queens. However, I'm responding to somebody on Facebook Live. I grew up in Jackson Heights. I spent my first 40 years in Jackson Heights. I'm in Brooklyn now, in the very, very south end of Brooklyn, Bay Ridge, to be specific. But my brother still lives in Jackson Heights, and those are my roots. And I would like to go back there, visit my brother and some of my favorite places. So, Connie, you and I and my partner Barbara, we should get together sometime and visit restaurants in Jackson Heights. Jackson Heights has great restaurants, let me tell you. Okay, so again, the telephone number to call to talk about science fiction, fantasy, and related fields of endeavor is 347-335-0818. I hope that you're remembering all these numbers, because you should also remember 516-620-3602 to pledge, or 41444 and text WBAI in order to pledge, or give, since we're doing numbers, numeral 2 WBAI on the web. Okay? Yes, yes, email me, Connie. Preferably real email, or else we can do this on Facebook. But we should definitely get together, a person who I know through Facebook and other science fiction circles. Okay, no calls coming in. That's probably all right. That's assuming that our phone lines here are working. I can't always count on that. And since we're using my phone to telecast what it is we are doing here, I'm unable to use my phone to call in and check. But if you would like to call up and discuss, recent science fiction stories, novels, old science fiction stories and novels, Blade Runner, Babylon 5 even, Star Trek Discovery. I've only seen the pilot episode, but both parts of it. I saw part one, which I thought was dull and boring, and part two, which was, wow, this is really good. They should have broadcast both of those. Yes, Tom, I remember that person, Phil. Yes, he wreaked havoc in science fiction conventions for a while. Let me see, did I miss something there? No, that was this person's first comment. He's a radio producer as well. Tom is the person I'm talking about, not Phil. Anyway, somebody is calling to talk on the air. And good morning, you're on the radio.
Hi. Hi. Congratulations on the 50 and a half years.
Thank you.
Not coincidentally, because of the new movie, but I was just talking about Blade Runner tonight with someone. I thought that visually it was a very interesting looking movie, but I don't understand why. Well, I don't share in the worship people have for it.
Oh, you see, that's you and me both, I'm afraid.
It's just, you know, it's partially noir pastiche with science fictional elements, and
I would call it neo-noir, yeah.
Yeah, and something I've always found particular, or often found particularly funny, is that people love Roy Batty's speech near the end, where he talks about all these memories lost in time, including of things that can't happen, like spaceships on fire.
Yeah.
And his memories are very likely entirely synthetic. And they're still living in whatever optical storage unit they were in before they were put into his head in the first place.
Oh, that's a lovely theory. I've got a theory that the scriptwriter's thoughts were synthetic.
It's said that I read someone who claimed that that monologue was essentially written the morning that it was shot.
I would believe it. I don't know that to be true, but I do know that there was a great deal of stuff being done on the fly. And the movie, I think, reflects that very much so.
On the other hand, I think Dick had some sympathies with Nietzsche, and Nietzsche was fond of saying that he envied the Greeks their ability to love beautiful surfaces without the need to try to get deeper. At least that was his take on it.
Ooh. So you're thinking that in a way this movie, the first movie, was faithful to Philip K. Dick, because frankly, if you go beneath the surface, I don't find a whole lot.
I like Dick's stuff.
It's a gorgeous surface.
But, you know, for some reason, a lot of it reads like it was the product of a very bright guy, of a bright and interesting autodidact who was riding to afford horse meat in 3-day speed binges.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's
well,
exactly what it was.
Yes, well, I think that is, well, yeah, that's exactly what it was. Dick did not do hallucinogens, but he certainly did I'm doing something naughty. I'm reading Facebook Live while talking to you. He certainly did any number of amphetamine-style drugs. He certainly hallucinated over various things, there's no question. And he wrote some of those up very interestingly, like if you think of Vallis and books like that, those are about as tripped out as you can get. But some Philip K. Dick, like the novel Ubik, which even though Dick himself wrote a screenplay for, that has never been produced. Isn't that weird? Only these various movies, the most part, with the exception of Barjo is one, which is based on Confessions of a Crap Artist, and nobody knows that movie, and a few people know that novel. And the other one is the film directed by Richard Linklater that used rotoscope all the way.
A Scanner Darkly.
Thank you, A Scanner
has
Darkly.
Robert, a very good performance from Robert Downey in it.
Yes, and Woody Harrelson and Winona Ryder. I would say in many ways. Oh, and another movie that few people know, Radio Free Albemuth.
Which the book of which reads like a different version of Vallis. It's all taken from the exegesis.
It is.
And
that book was only, I believe that Radio Free Albemuth was written first, and the late David Hartwell would tell the story that he asked for, as any editor would, for a certain rewrite, and Dick basically took Radio Free Albemuth, threw it into a desk drawer, and then he rewrote it altogether.
Yeah, Vallis.
And that as Vallis, which is nowhere near as good a book, I think, as Radio Free Albemuth. Okay,
I found Vallis a little bit tighter. Let me see.
Yes, it is. Think of Radio Free Albemuth as a first draft.
Mm. Jeter's take on it, I think, was done as the glass hammer.
Right.
And the friendly competition, but the program To the Best of Our Knowledge did a pretty good piece on Dick recently.
Oh, really?
They spoke with Jonathan Lethem.
Okay, and Jonathan has been one of the directors of the PKD Society.
They spoke about his somewhat edited edition of the Exegesis.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, now Jonathan can quote Philip K. Dick chapter and verse. He is, I dare say, the most knowledgeable and opinionated person on Philip K. Dick in the world.
They also spoke with one of the ex-wives.
Yes. And
Anne.
And I've spoken with her as well, and we're friended on Facebook, and I'm blanking on her name.
Well, they think this was Anne, and she died.
Okay. That would have been an interview done quite a while ago. No, the one I'm thinking of is very much alive and owns some of the rights. Paul Williams ran the literary estate. This is not Paul Williams. This is Paul Williams who created Crawdaddy, not Paul Williams, the singer or the actor, or the former WBAI talk show host, Paul Williams. This is Paul Williams, my favorite of all those folk, of Crawdaddy, who I had on the show once. And we actually spent a while, even though we should have been talking about his own writing, we talked primarily about Philip K. Dick. And I, by the way, am a member of the PKD Society, but I would not put myself up in comparison to, say, Jonathan Lethem,
program goes, I would fault them for not mentioning, when they mentioned Bishop Pike, that Dick was his son-in-law for a while.
Yes.
But I would...
Dick had five wives over the years.
Yeah. I would credit them for mentioning Michael Bishop's The Secret Ascension or Philip K. Dick is Dead, Alas.
Yes, well, that's Michael Bishop.
Okay, yeah, but which I've always thought was at least a slight influence on Watchmen, since... I think The Secret Ascension was the first book to posit a world in which Richard Nixon was still president in the 80s.
Okay.
Anyway.
I didn't know that, but that's the main theme of Radio Free Albemuth. But you knows your stuff, I will say.
All right. Be well.
Okay, bye. You too. Take care. Thanks for calling. Okay. And if you would like to call and speak on the air, the telephone number here at WBAI is 347-335-0818. The pledge line is 516-620-3602, but I find it easiest to just use the web and go to WBAI.org and make a pledge there and let them know you can... give an e-donation in the name of your favorite show, and we all know that your favorite show is Hour of the Wolf, don't we? Okay, I actually have to take a look. I have been missing all these comments. If you have a computer or a phone nearby, you can watch this program live on Facebook. Facebook Live, just look me up, Jim Freund, F-R-E-U-N-D. Or you can, of course, listen to us over WBAI New York. Is that a sly way that I got the station break in there? I hope so. So, let's see. let's see what some of the Facebook comments are. Discovery is on cable in GWNE. I'll take your word. I don't know what GWNE is, but I know this person is from Canada. It's gotten better, especially since it's actually on Discovery now. Yes, I have heard that. And Tom says, always have support KBOO. I agree. Support your local listener-sponsored station. One should. KBOO is one of the greats. Paula points out that there was a film based on the short story. We can remember it for you wholesale. And I will point out that less than 5 minutes of that movie has anything to do with Philip K. Dick. And that's the 5 minutes that is spent on Mars. Otherwise, there ain't no Dick in there at all. Tom mentions Ralph Bakshi. Okay. Bakshi would have been, should be, he's still around, for God's sake. I would love to see his take on Philip K. Dick, but he's never done it. It was Richard Linklater that did the animated rotoscoped version. That I dare say you're right, Bakshi pioneered its modern use with Wizards and his bizarre version of Lord of the Rings and all that. Okay. And Keith says, Discovery has been... Whoops. Okay, see, it blocked it out because the interface shows me what is coming up. Discovery has been weird enough so far that I would not be surprised to find the mid-season reveal to be that everything up to then is Michael's training simulation. Ooh, like the Kobayashi Maru scenario. That would be interesting. And then he says, or else it's just badly written. It's supposed to fit in with the rest of Trek. Well, it is supposed to fit in with the rest of Trek because they absolutely set it 10 years before the Enterprise. And when Brian Fuller was involved with the project, then I'm sure that he had a plan to bring it there. But Brian Fuller left the show, and it is now being run more or less by Alex Kurtzman, although there Fuller's name is still on it. And there's like, you know, eight names as producers, but it's really Kurtzman's show. And Brian Fuller, of course, is doing American Gods, which I think he's so far done a wonderful job is. And rumor is that with the forthcoming reemergence of Amazing Stories, the TV Amazing, the TV version of Amazing Stories, produced by Steven Spielberg's company, that will be run by Brian Fuller as well. We will see how that works. Hi, Lawrence. I haven't seen you in, 3 days. Well, Sunday. Yeah, at Capclave in D.C. So, now Brian Fuller is one of my favorite producers and showrunners, although I never watched Hannibal. That is not to my taste, if you'll pardon the pun. Telephone number to call in and chat is 347-335-0818. The place to look online on Facebook Live is on my timeline. Jim Freund, F-R-E-U-N-D, if you just, you know, search for me on there. I don't believe that we have to be friended or anything. I believe that you can just watch because I make everything on there public. And to pledge, go to WBAI.org and follow the prompts. But since we're an hour into the show, I think it might be time to take a brief break with some music or some such thing. What would be appropriate? Well, it's not quite Halloween yet, but it might nonetheless, assuming I have it on this computer here. If I don't, I know I have it on this hard drive I brought with me. Let's take a look there. HOTW Music, I must have. this particular... Ah, yes. Here we go. You know, I get my Danny Elfman music confused. I hope this is the one. No, it's too long. I'm not going to play an 8-minute song. Which is the one that has the lyric? Let's have a party. There's a full moon in the sky. It's the hour of the wolf, and I don't want to die. Let's just play one of my favorite songs that I have played on the air through the years, and we'll be back in a mere 3.5 minutes.
On a little trip, my supersonic ship's at your disposal if you feel so inclined. Well, alright. We're gonna travel faster than light, so do up your overcoat tight, and we'll go anywhere you want to decide. Well, alright. Sonic rocket ship, nobody has to be helped, nobody needs to be out of sight.
Oh, out of sight,
man. Nobody's gonna travel second class at the equality and no suppression of minorities. Second class of the equality and no suppression of minorities. Well, alright. Let me take you on a little trip. I'm a supersonic rocket ship.
The Kinks, here over listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifico Radio in New York City, WBAI at 99.5 FM. And yeah, I want to play the cart about this Monday's show yet again.
Gentle Ben was waving his paw from our TV sets. The Electric Prunes was in the bins at Sam Goody. Miniskirts and boots made for walking were seen on every street. And at the WBAI studios on East 39th Street, Little Jim Freund rang the bell. rest is science fiction. Join Jim, Janet Coleman, David Dozer, Max Schmidt, and myself, James Irsay, as we honor Jim's 50 years in show business, Monday, October 16th from 3 to 5 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. See you there.
So this is showbiz, eh? I hadn't quite realized that. But this is, indeed, as I said earlier, WBAI in New York. And yes, the song that I thought it was is No One Lives Forever. Okay. I have to click see more on this. Okay, yeah, I can't deal with long Facebook conversations, I'm afraid. But people can call up if you wish to discuss things WBAI or Hour of the Wolf, History of Hour of the Wolf, which is now over 45 years old, and or what you will. A telephone number to call and speak on the air is 347-335-0818. Or you can go to Facebook, to Facebook Live, and look me up, Jim Freund, F-R-E-U-N-D, and you can actually watch the show while it is in progress, although I think it will not be synced with the broadcast. And you think, because it's the internet. And you can pledge to WBAI, give us your hard-earned money so that this station won't end. And to do that, on the web, go to WBAI.org or give to WBAI.org and follow the prompts. You can even text 41444, and the message that you will send to that number is, of course, WBAI, and the rest is technological magic. This is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. This is a weekly program generally dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, and related fields of endeavor. This is a free-form program this morning. That is to say, I did not have a specific agenda, and we're making it up as we go along. But that is much of the nature of what WBAI, in fact, more so than most of the other Pacifica stations, do. There are some other stations, like at WFUV, and I believe at KBOO, as Tom was mentioning, that do this. But this is a format of radio that is found purely, not just at non-commercial stations, but very specifically at listener-sponsored radio stations. And WBAI is your sole, only listener-sponsored station. There are other stations that ask for your money. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but they have additional funding through additional means. They may be getting, and we get some relatively minor funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that has mostly to do with helping pay the musical rights for what we broadcast. And but we're well over 85% listener-sponsored. We may be over 90% listener-sponsored, but I would have to ask somebody who's on the financial committee of the board to find out just what that percentage is. But the point is, we're listener-sponsored. We need your money. And as we always say, now more than ever, but guess what? It's now more than ever. We recently lost judgment in court on the back rent that we owe on the location of our transmitter in the Empire State Building, and it is a minimum of $1.8 million. And our owners, the Pacifica Foundation, have other debts as well. So, please pledge. Please do that thing for us. Okay. Now, I can either take phone calls and blather at you for another 45 minutes, or I can take a look at the various things that I have brought with me on a thumb drive. I have, ooh, how long is this story by Pat Murphy? Oh, it's almost an hour, so that's too long. I have a reading that was done for the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings, which I am the curator of, done by Kit Reed, who died about, I was going to use a euphemism of some sort or another, but it was mentioned by her son online. She doesn't like that word. She liked the word simply, let you know, that she died. So how long is this specifically? It doesn't say. What if I simply turned down the pot and started playing this, then it would tell me the timing. And, if you're on Facebook Live, you could just type at me and tell me, you know, would you prefer a reading, some music, continue talking? Ooh, how about, okay. Of course, this isn't coming up on the player. Oh, here it is. Thank you. So it's 37 minutes long. Ooh, if I started right now, okay. We really don't actually have the time to fit that in, unfortunately. I waited a little too long, but we are going to play that, in fact, somewhere within the next month or so. So, let's see, that's an hour. How long is Kadak? This is a favorite. This is an all-time favorite to broadcast. 42 minutes. Ah, Freund, you waited too long. And also, I usually reserve I'm Looking for Kadak by Harlan Ellison, read by Harlan Ellison. I usually prefer to play that near a Jewish holiday because, well, it's simply appropriate. It's also a great, great reading. Ooh, hey there, Jonathan, watching me while I'm blathering over both WBAI and Facebook at the same time. So outside of some music here and there, I think you are stuck with me. We will have more interviews for you soon. Lawrence, I know that you're watching. You ought to come back on the show soon. Write me and let me know if you can Skype. We'll do Skype to Skype, not video, just the audio. And we should have you back on the program. But recently, like Tuesday, as a matter of fact, I recorded an interview with Hugh Howie, who was so articulate, so interesting, and so good. And he has a new book out called Machine Thinking. It's another collection of short stories by him. Prolific author, fellow who helped and co-built his own catamaran and then is sailing all over the world to many, many places in and writing. And when he isn't writing, he's putting together anthologies. A wonderful writer and articulate person. And I need to edit that before I can put that on the air. If you would like to call up and speak on the air, the phone number here is 347-335-0818. And otherwise, I may look for some appropriate music to play. It's just a little too early. I've got all this Halloween music. I've got, you know, 6-7 hours worth of Halloween music and stories and a talk by Margot Adler about why we love vampires and some absolutely wonderful bits available, but not for a freeform morning. Also coming up, of course, we are going to do a show on the new Blade Runner film after I have seen it, not before. that only makes sense. But again, the phone number, 347-335-0818. You see, people are typing. What about PDQ Bach, Tom? I could play some Peter Schickele music. Of course, I did, because our opening theme is by Peter Schickele. I've got some Peter Schickele music right here that I produced. And I would be quite willing to play some of that. Some songs of his, actually. The whole thing runs 31 minutes, but I would find some prime moments of his songs to play also at some point. The Night of the Burning Pestle. I have that whole thing right here. I could play a couple of songs from Night of the Burning Pestle. Why not? Why not? I'm selecting, about... Let's see, I have to go to properties. I'm selecting 4 tunes to play, and that should tell me, is just how long they come to, but no, it doesn't. Ha, that figures. But here is a mini sample of Schickele's Night of the Burning Pestle. We will hear my introduction, his introduction. Oh my, this is from 40 years ago. 41 years ago. It's from, I think, 1976. Might be even 75. We did 2 concerts together. Got a Major Armstrong Award for one. Oh, I'm seeing all these little hearts run across my phone screen here on Facebook. So I'm assuming that's approval for the Schickele music. So why don't we just talk about that and set your Wayback Machine, I think, for December 6th, to be precise, of 1976. And after the 2 introductions, we're going to go into a number about midway through, and then the outro, the finale of The Knight of the Burning Pestle, written by Beaumont and Fletcher, with music by Mr., not Professor, but Mr., Peter Schickele. Boy, did that not cue up properly. Okay, now it is.
I would like to just thank some of the people who helped make this concert possible. Judith Sherman is the recording engineer. David Marks, Margaret Mercer, and Steve Lowen are the technical assistants for the concert. Alexa Pensner is at the door. Ira Weitzman is the executive producer of the Free Music Store. He's the person that makes the Free Music Store what it is, and we're all very grateful to him. Okay, now, Peter.
For the first half of our second half, we're going to do songs from a show that I wrote music for last year, was given at the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven. The name of the play is The Night of the Burning Pestle, as opposed to The Living Dead. Actually, this is Knight, this that kind of night. It's a play written in 1607 by Beaumont and Fletcher, and
For some reason, people turned it into even more of a musical than it probably was originally done.
I think
that's all comedy, and sometimes this music is quite serious and beautiful.
Even when you see it, you can't tell
this
the plot.
This falls somewhere between the two.
I should mention, perhaps, that it was a double bill. The first half of the concert was the L'Histoire du Soldat of Stravinsky, which accounts for the particular instrumentation of this musical, which is the instruments of L'Histoire plus a harpsichord and a couple of doublings there. In general, the four of us here singing, Linda Hunt and Brooks Jones and Darby Lewis and myself.
Yes, that Linda Hunt, the one who won the Academy Award for
more than one character.
Oh, that movie with Mel Gibson. It's the same Linda Hunt.
The plays were put on, the idea of the performance was that these plays, these two plays...
The Year of Living Dangerously was the
were being done out of a large repertoire by
a movie.
Traveling festival.
Whatever, you know.
And Linda was a member of that troupe who moved scenery around and held up signs saying what scene it was and things like that. Now, Brooks, in the original production, was the director of the show. At this time, however, he's been demoted to a member of the cast. And he will be singing primarily the romantic leads songs. What? This play is about a traveling theater company that is about to put on a typical sort of Elizabethan comedy of lords and ladies, and a grocer in the audience, this is all part of the original Beaumont and Fletcher play, a grocer in the audience gets up and says, wait a minute, I don't want to play about lords and ladies, I want to play about a grocer. And he was sort of an 1807 version of Lyndon Johnson, and he could afford to pay for music, which the play wasn't originally supposed to have, and also to insist that his apprentice be part of the show. So for the rest of the play, there is this romantic couple, sung here by Brooks and Darby, trying to have a real Romeo and Juliet kind of love story, but it is constantly interrupted by this huge 17-year-old oaf who keeps coming in and fighting giants and reciting history and doing things that have nothing whatsoever to do with the play. Later on, he sings a song, which I'll be singing. I get to be the oaf, called For Now the Fragrant Flowers Do Spring. So I think that's about all we have to say, except can I have a program again? I'd like to make sure I don't forget anybody here. Our ensemble, in addition to the singers that I've mentioned, consists of Anthony Signorelli on clarinet and Martin Barenboim on trumpet and Dennis Godburn on bassoon, Howard Prince on trombone, Rick Kravitz again on drums, and Mark Martyr on bass and Erica Sato on violin, and Don Jennings is conducting. Sorry. Yes, and we do have Joan Stein again on harpsichord. We're going to be doing 9 songs, and
you're only going
to
hear
I don't
two.
Think I'll try to tell you how they fit into the plot. I think it's more fun for you to try to figure that out. If I told you what was going on in this next number, you wouldn't believe me either.
Troubled with the gall or spleen, learn of us to keep his brow smooth and plain as ours are now. Learn of us to keep his brow smooth and plain as ours are now.
Molly show. This is moral law should know.
The lady spurned at her, she begged she'd hold her peace and cross her legs.
If a preacher teaches men, it a moral must present.
Don't be sucked in by ladies bleeding, lest you crave a thorough beating.
When you wheeze your dying word, this our moral shall be heard.
You must admit, it isn't often you see a girl nailed in a coffin.
The moral of our show, take it with you when you go.
And shove them up your royal ass.
Now, that was actually the finale of that half of the show. But there was also a song in the middle that I want to play.
As you came from Walsingham, from that holy land, there met you not with my
died a pure and virgin lass, for he slew her youth, the knave.
Miserere dore, miserere dore, fa sol la di da. Hi, pocus, pocus, ha, ha, ha.
Take that lady bright, or William bid you sing. Behold her lofty angel flight, to earth's God and Christ the God.
Thank you.
I say so myself. Woohoo! Peter Schickele at the WBAI Free Music Store, executive producer Ira Weitzman, and produced by Mowat Jim Freund in what used to be the WBAI Church on 62nd Street. Now the Beta Apartments. Just freaking amazing. You heard about a third of it. That did come out eventually on record in a studio production. Mine was better. And that is what we won the Armstrong Award for. Major Armstrong is... I think many people would agree that he was the person who invented FM radio, but there was a lawsuit that was in the courts between him and David Sarnoff for something like 30 years or so, and Armstrong lost, and I believe he committed suicide, just as the founder of Pacifica Radio eventually committed suicide. Prevent this radio station from committing suicide by calling and pledging at 516-620-3602 or visit on the web give2wbai.org. That's webegatintervals.org. I think it's more like we beg at incessantly. It's got to get something in. Incessantly is the right I in there, but how to do that, I am not quite sure. This is WBAI, in case you couldn't figure it out by now, in New York City. Listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio broadcasting at 99.5 FM. The program is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. This is also over WBAI.org and also over Facebook Live, where you can watch me singing along or hopefully mouthing along with that. But, you know, I haven't listened to that in a while. Especially that tune in the middle, As You Came from Walsingham, just throws me for a loop. It is fabulous music. Schickele, absolutely brilliant. And that sound that he gets out of a total orchestra of eight, and you get this big, big sound, and people just think of Schickele as P.D.Q. Bach, and P.D.Q. Bach is fine. I am a huge fan of P.D.Q. Bach. I went to the special concert that Schickele had that was sort of an anniversary 2 years ago, I believe it was. And I have to say, it's really enervating. It's really quite something. But his music, the stuff that Schickele writes as music, he's written some beautiful stuff. And we were able to do that at the WBAI Free Music Store. And let me tell you something. If we somehow get through our current crises and get to pay our transmitter rent and continue broadcasting, given the space that we have downstairs, where I hold the New York Review of Science Fiction readings once a month, which you can watch, by the way, on live stream. The next one will be on November 7th and will feature Shannon Chakraborty and Chris Dykeman. And that will be a wonderful double feature. And you can come here to 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. Admission is free, but you can give a donation if you so wish. That's a donation to the reading series. But also, if you wish to make a donation to WBAI, please not cash. A check or some other way would be preferred. We can enable that since that space is on the ground floor, and WBAI is here on the third floor of that same building at 388 Atlantic Avenue. The point being, if we can survive, if we start using that space properly, we could do stuff again like the Free Music Store. You listen to that stuff and you can say easily, those were glory days at WBAI. And while what we do continues to be important and essential radio in so many ways, my heart still is buried in the cornerstone of that church and walks up and down the stairs of the brownstone at 39th Street. But especially that church where you could hear the sound, you could hear the recording engineering that Judith Sherman gave, and you could see how we could put concerts together. We often did two a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays. Wednesdays were simply for the community. Some of them may have been recorded, but sometimes they involved movies. Sometimes they were silent movies, and we had a fellow come in with a player piano and accompany those. I know that this is something that a lot of very cool places do nowadays, but we did it first. Indeed. And these are days that we could have again if only we survive. And the only way we are going to survive is in your hands. You, the listener, can make us survive. How can you do it? I've been working at WBAI now for 50 years, plus a few months. That's a good number. Call and donate $50. Or go on the web and donate $50. $50 is a good figure. And if you look around the website at WBAI.org or at give2WBAI.org, for that $50, there are a few premiums that I think you will find quite worthwhile. Max Schmid and Ken Gale put together this really cool collection of radio dramas and episodes of Echo Logic. And I think that's a thank you gift for a $35 donation. Give $50, please. Go to give2wbai.org or text the letters WBAI to 41444, or you can even make a phone call, 516-620-3602. And if we get through all these troubles and all these problems, perhaps we will be able to do more than just me bringing in my phone camera and doing Facebook Live, but have more telecasts, podcasts, of course, broadcasts, concerts downstairs. We're doing a lot of good stuff downstairs, but the technology, there's still a learning curve on that. And, well, it all is in your hands. And that is what listener-sponsored radio is all about. So please pledge. I said I was going to pitch all morning, but I haven't, because I'm doing it from the heart. This isn't a prepared pitch. This is completely from the heart. And I do think that that little sample of about a third of one half of that concert, the rest of it being chamber music, would be enough to justify your pledge. So I think that should help. Let me take a look on which machine has my flash drive. We're dealing with three computers in here. We beg around the clock incessantly. Is the hyphenation cheating? No, it's not, Fran. I think that this is another producer here at WBAI. No, I like We Beg Around the Clock incessantly. That makes for a good WBAI, because, yeah, it's not We Beg at Intervals, which is what we used to throw around. It's right now, until we get to where we need to go, we need to pitch incessantly until we get past these problems. I'm looking for something else, homegrown, as opposed to, you know, commercially produced, that may incite you to enjoy some of what we have that will fit into the 12 minutes that we have remaining before we are done. Let's see. What have I got here? Okay, I'm looking back at my flash drive. I'm pretty sure. Can I do a search on this? Ugh, God, it's Windows 95. Can you believe it? Let's see. Okay, let's do a search on the name of a particular person. No, that's a whole show. I'm looking for a piece of flash fic. That's very quick fiction for you out there who don't know that Michael Swanwick recorded for us. And, my search on this hard drive, or rather on this flash drive, is not coming up with it. Is it conceivable that I actually have it on the hard drive here? Conceivable, yes. But true? Let us see. I have to clear the decks in order to find this. Oh, did somebody take my folder away? Oh, no, they didn't. There it is. It's just hidden. Okay. Let's see. Now, that's an entire long, long program with Swanwick. I'm looking for that little piece of flash fic, and alas, not coming up with it. And speaking, by the way, of things that we do that should convince you of the value of BAI, if you were listening last week when I filled in for Lister, who is not scheduled to be on this morning, but he may not have gotten the memo. You heard the Star Pit, which was first broadcast over WBAI 50 years ago this month. And as I said earlier, not a coincidence, because it was getting a chance to watch that production en route. To its broadcast that kept me so fascinated by BAI. Oh, people are having conversations among themselves. Tom says, I too would love Natalie Portman's take on the upgrade to where her character is now. Are we referring to what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago as far as Leon the professional is concerned? Yes, Luc Besson, whose film Valerian is shockingly not the worst performing movie of this year in terms of ratio of budget to box office. So far, it's Blade Runner, amazingly. Good morning, you're on the radio. Whoops, no, you're not. You're a dial tone. I'm sorry. Call back, please. Telephone number to talk on the air, 347-335-0818. What happens is that this phone system dumps people after a number of calls, and I've got the mic placed, so it'll be out of the way of Facebook Live, and I couldn't see that the phone was ringing. Okay, good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robert.
Were you going to, by any chance, play when you said Swanwick, one of his periodic table science fiction pieces?
No, I was not.
Oh. Okay.
It's a piece of flash fic that he wrote for this program.
Okay. since, oh, by the way.
He wrote those for Ellen Datlow.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I think it was, no, it wasn't Omni, it was Event Horizon. And by the way, for those who don't know, Omni Magazine, on your newsstands, October 24th.
Well, since it's 3 days late, a belated to you anyway, happy Indigenous Peoples Day. And
yeah, I should have played the Freeburg.
Yes, I was hoping that you would do the Custer Memorial Indian School bit.
We only have a couple of minutes.
Yes.
Before I have to say goodbye.
Are you doing something for Samhain, Celtic New Year, which is about 3 weeks away?
Don't know. Okay. In the same way that I am a secular Jew, I am also a secular pagan.
Well, aren't we all in one way or another, I hope?
No, I don't think we all are. Just the good people.
Well, actually, I was thinking of
but
you.
We're really low on time here.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. I'm just noting. It's 2:53. And if I'm going to play the outro, my musical outro, you know what I really should do? I know what song I'm going to do for an outro. It's 7 minutes long. No, I can't do that. But I can look to see. Yeah, I don't have time for Tamlin. But somewhere. Here we are. And how long is this? 6 minutes long. Nope. If I can find the shorter version, I might go for that. Let's see. Is this working at all? Can I go here and request something? The technological setup here is most strange. We have two computers going, only one of which is actually on the internet. So for me to use my resource of playing certain songs on the air, I have to do that. Hey, Alex, a former neighbor is watching. Okay, so what? How strange. Oh, I see. It brought the whole album up. I don't want the whole album. I just want this one song. There we go. Oh, but it's only giving me, there we are, the 3 minute version. Not as good as the 6 minute version, but it will do for an outro because I only have 3 minutes left. And in fact, I'll need to start that in 1 minute. So, hi, Alex. How are you? People are texting me on Facebook Live. I'll keep the Facebook Live going, by the way, after the radio show's over, but only for a limited period of time, because I have to run out and catch a bus, and I have to figure out how to start the next show. So, let me tell people that this has been Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. Thank you so much for listening, and I don't know when I will be back. It may not be until the fund drive is over, because they have a propensity for trying to raise money during this time. If you pledge now and do so in the name of Hour of the Wolf, that might bring me back. But I will most certainly be on again on Monday from 3 to 5 p.m. with a whole slew of people. David Dozer, James Irsay, Janet Coleman, maybe Max Schmid, celebrating, my 50th anniversary here at BAI. So I hope that you can join in for that. And in the meantime, you can find me on Facebook, Jim, Freund. You can write me, jfreund, Freund, at ourwolf.com, HOURWOLF. And in the meantime, yes, Connie, please do that. In the meantime, everybody, take care of yourselves. take care of your others. Help people around the world. They need it more than ever. Be good to people. Okay, that's the bottom line. We go out with Steel Eye Span as always, but instead of Sails of Silver, one of my favorite October songs, Thomas the Rhymer. Thank you for listening, and take good care.
Its rest, you will find me
WBAI, New York.
I love the best, watching rainbows play on sunlight, pools of water, ice cream, cold nights in the morning. Can't you imagine it? It's the morning of my life, yeah. In the daytime, I will meet you as before. You will find me waiting by the ocean floor, building castles in the shifting sands, in a world nobody understands. In the morning is the morning of my life. Tis the morning.
Mimi Rosenberg with a two-hour special, Kneeling and Race in the Era of Trump. We'll consider the implications of Trump's election for racism's expression. We'll explore the effects of Trump's victory and what it meant in terms of validating many white supremacist ideologies and the way racism in America was altered by this resurgence. Equally, if not more important, we'll point to new forms of resistance within and across racial divisions to the injustice of Trump times. We'll focus on race and examine how racism has grown and changed from the time of Obama's presidency to the present, and further, how resistance movements against racism have changed as a result. Contrary to the atmosphere of America when Obama was elected in 2008, Trump's election hailed a new era in which white supremacy could be appraised and racism was okay again. We're in the middle of our fall fund drive. This morning, we have a superb, critically acclaimed, and important package of material for you. Five films And if you pledge this morning additional speeches by some of the critical analysts of our time, kneeling and race in the era of Trump. And we're asking you to take the number now and get ready as you listen to call and pledge your dollars to support this incomparably important radio station. WBAI in the era of Trump, which is the communication link between all of our social activism, between all the agents for social change and the different movement endeavors to be transformative, to be able to move forward, to defeat Trumpism in all of its manifestations. WBAI is the beacon of hope. It is the ray of communication, and we must support it as we've always done, supported our institutions. And now, kneeling and race in the era of Trump, take this number down, get ready to call 516-620-3602. That is 516-620-3602 for kneeling and race in the era of Trump. And now we begin.
The final of the 400 meters. And here it is. Brown's in the outside lane there. Next to him, Williams, the American Negro. Brown's going well, but he's leaving it too late. That Negro's dangerous. Going into the bend, Williams will drive it home before they get into the straight. Brown's got to fight for it now. The Negro's got him. 20 yards from the straight. Williams is ahead. He's going away. Brown looks big. Roberts and Laval on the inside. Laval going strong. Roberts is challenging him, but Williams leads. He'll go. No, look. Brown sprinting. There's Williams of America. And here's Laval. Very happy to have taken third place.
This is one of the great tragedies of the story you tell, is you have 17, 18 athletes here who were on the world stage. One of them is remembered.
By the time 36 came around, people began to understand who Hitler was and what his goals were.
Here was an opportunity on the world stage to disprove white supremacy.
Love my gold medal, but it's not in history. It's not as important as their gold medals. Like there, for me, there's just something so special about what they did and who they did it in front of.
These are athletes who did something really important at a seminal point in human history. Not African American history, not American history, in human history. They did something incredibly important.
Simply being on the medal stand in 1936 sent a message.
From that struggle for legitimacy became the foundation of the struggle for access, which became integrated into nonviolent direct action and primed the pump for Dr. King.
They have stories that have not only drama and drive and power and force, but they are stories that can focus us again on something truly important about the human spirit and about the human race and what it takes to be truly human and not inhuman.
Kneeling and race in the era of Trump. You were listening to an extraordinary clip of film from the early period of the 1936 Olympics, which is part of a film, one of five films that we are making available this morning all around the theme of kneeling and race in the era of Trump. This clip was from the 1936 World Olympics, one of the great films recently released, Olympic Pride, American Prejudice, 18 African-American Olympic stars defied Hitler and Jim Crow racism to win the hearts and medals at the 1936 Summer Games in Berlin. History is surely not neat, and it's not tidy, however much we wish it could be. And Olympic Pride, American Prejudice, more than any film I've seen on the issue, is adept at getting to the truth about perhaps the most mythologized event of the modern Olympic movement. It captures a historical movement that was even more fraught than it's generally imagined to be. In 1936, 18 African-American athletes, dubbed the Black Auxiliary by Hitler, participated in the Berlin Olympic Games, defying Nazi Aryan supremacy and Jim Crow racism. Despite their achievements and winning the hearts and winning medals in Berlin, the world forgot all of them except one, and that was Jesse Owens. Well, Olympic Pride, American Prejudice is the story of the 17 other. The film follows the athletes from the attempted boycott of the 36 Olympics to their triumph at the Games and then to their unceremonious return to America. And the film restores these mostly little-known athletes who change the course of sports and the fight for civil rights to their proper place in history. And this is just one of the films available. There are five of them this morning, and they are The Olympic Pride, American Prejudice, The Great White Hoax, Donald Trump, and the Politics of Race and Class in America, featuring Tim Wise. The film, More Than a Word, a film about the Native American-based sports mascots and the Washington Redskins, a compelling close-up critique, an artistic and political, culturally relevant movie that makes crystal clear that the fight against Indian mascots is a central part of the wider struggle of indigenous people for political, educational, and social economic justice today, and the Black Power Salute, the 68 Olympics, four of the films. And if you contribute now, and we should say that the other film, which is just stunning, is one of the most profound orators, sociologists, civil rights activists in the country, and that is Dr. Harry Edwards, whose film, The Revolt of the Black Athlete, looks at the issue of human rights through the point of Colin Kaepernick's protest today. Harry Edwards, who was the architect of the Olympic Project for Human Rights, which led to the Black Power Salute protest by two African-American athletes, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, at the 68 Summer Olympics in Mexico. And if you pledge now, there is more. Yes, there is more. The outstanding presentation of Tim Wise as he spoke on racism in the era of Trump, and Carol Anderson on the advent of white rage, one of the great presenters, orators, analysts, writers, lecturers on the issue of race and the issue and advent of race and its particular manifestations in the era of Trump. All of this is available. The five films, the presentations by Dr. Carol Anderson and Tim Wise, all of that is available to you for $200 and 61 years of this historic, critically acclaimed, incredibly important radio station, because it always weighs in on the simmering debates of our times, but it doesn't do it just in a scholastic and academic manner. It does it to further our theoretical information and foundation so we can be more effective agents of social change. So we're asking you to call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, and you will get Kneeling and Race in the Era of Trump. All you have to say is Kneeling and Race. It is a $200 contribution for these priceless films, which are not available for general consumption or available commercially. More Than a Word, The Great White Hoax, Olympic Pride, American Prejudice, The 68 Black Power Salute, The Revolt of the Black Athlete, Dr. Harry Edwards, and you will get the presentations if you call this morning of Dr. Carol Anderson and the great anti-racist writer and activist Tim Wise, who since 1995 has given speeches at over 600 college campuses across the U.S. He's trained teachers and corporate employees in nonprofit organizations and law enforcement offices in methods for addressing and dismantling racism in their institutions. 516-620-3602. Say what? That name is Kneeling and Race in the Era of Trump. That's Kneeling and Race in the Era of Trump. Your contribution gets you a stronger WBAI, gets you an institution that keeps on keeping on. And we now return to our programming, Kneeling and Race in the Era of Trump.
Mexico, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, the two great American Negro sprinters, give the Black Power salute as they receive their medals after the 200 meters final.